Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. I speak to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Please be seated. Seeing is believing, so the old adage goes. Human beings always want to see something. They always want proof of something, to believe in something or in someone, or to believe that something is in fact true, really exists, or actually occurs in the world. Maybe you have seen on TV in recent years all kinds of shows with the names like Bigfoot Hunter or Monster Quest. They search out the Chupacabra and things like that. UFO Hunters, and various other shows with these names. Although we are now moving into a time in our culture where it is okay and acceptable and even proper to question things, facts and phenomenons are still needed to be seen to be believed. People who believe in Bigfoot know that they need to create a TV show that captures footage of Bigfoot if they actually want people to believe and to convince people that Bigfoot exists. Because although everything in our society seems up for grabs these days, the old adage still holds true. Seeing is believing. Has anyone ever seen the 1950s science fiction horror movie called The Blob? This was a very low-budget film of its time, but it became an instant hit in society when it came out. The movie is about a big, gluey blob from outer space that eats, dissolves, and grows from consuming human beings in small-town America. The movie ends with a big question mark, as it never answers the question, where does this blob come from? Anyways, this movie was an instant hit. But little did most people know when this movie came out that it was actually based on a real police report. This event is chronicled in a book called Forgotten Tales of Philadelphia. The story unfolds as follows. Two Philadelphia police officers witnessed a strange occurrence one night while on patrol in 1950. It was September 26th, and officers John Collins and Joe Keenan were making their usual rounds in their car when they spotted a shimmering object drop from the sky into a nearby field. The officers decided that they should go and investigate the fallen object, so they drove to the edge of the field and exited the car. As the officers approached the landing site, a bad stench permeated the air. It seemed to be coming from the location of the impact. When their flashlight beams finally landed on the object, the officers were shocked. It appeared to be a large gelatinous blob, about 6 feet in diameter and about 1 foot thick. Collins, one of the officers, was quoting as saying, "It looked like it was alive." As the pair turned away from the blob to call for backup and turn their flashlights off, they realized that it actually had a faint purple glow. A few moments later, their sergeant, Joe Cook, and officer James Cooper arrived. They suggested that someone pick it up. Who would want to do that, right? Collins attempted to do this, but the material broke apart in his hands as if it were jelly. The situation became even stranger, the report goes on, when the few pieces that stuck to his hand soon evaporated, leaving behind only a sticky residue. Within hours, the rest of the blob suffered a similar fate. The officers were never able to determine exactly what that substance was. Now, this is a silly little story, which leaves many of us asking, "I just don't believe that," or "Was there really some more rational explanation of what went on that night?" Although this is a silly little story, it goes right of the heart to the adage, seeing is believing. These four officers were interviewed upon their retirement many, many years later, and they each maintained that they had a very strange encounter with something out of this world that night many years ago, when most people did not believe their story. But they believed their story because seeing is believing. Now, this idea that seeing is believing may just be built into the very fabric of our humanity because it seems to have existed through time and culture. In our gospel reading for today, we can see this very thing going on. Our reading from the gospel today continues on from our reading we had last week, Jesus feeding the 5,000 and walking on water. In today's reading, Jesus is on the other side of the sea. The disciples come to Jesus and they say to him, "We must do the work. What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus says to them, talking about himself, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And the disciples say back to Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you?" Mind you, Jesus had just fed the 5,000 and walked on water, but the people still want more of a sign, for seeing is believing. They say to Jesus, "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They tell Jesus, "Our ancestors got a sign then, and we want a sign now, so that we can see and believe." Jesus, again, talking about himself, says to the disciples, "The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Here, Jesus again is talking about himself, the incarnation, God the Father taking on flesh and coming into the world. Even though Jesus is clearly talking about himself, the people still do not understand. They say to him, "Why don't you give us this bread always?" So Jesus answers them again with his very famous line to make it clear to them that he is talking about himself. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus is the sign. The disciples see Jesus, they touch Jesus, they live with Jesus, yet they still have a hard time believing. When Christ declares, "I am the bread of life," we ask ourselves, what is he really saying? What is he trying to convey to us, his followers? Bread is mentioned many, many times throughout the Bible in various different ways. And when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," we should look at these other texts to gather some insight. First, the first thing we can say is that in ancient Israel, bread equaled life. It was the most major part of the diet, and if you had no bread, you simply had no life. So Jesus is saying he is the life. Jesus is the one who brings, gives, and sustains all life. We are told that in certain parts of the Bible that bread and water make up the whole diet of the poor and those in prison. If we look at Jesus' other teaching, this makes perfect sense. Jesus' whole teaching is radical and calls us to take care of the poor, the prisoners, and those in any kind of need. Jesus is the one who sustains them also. He is their daily portion and bread. Last week we heard how the bread is Jesus' abundant love for all people, regardless of what sin or mortal lapse they may have had in their lives. When Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," again he is saying, "I am love, I am grace, I am mercy." In the Old Testament texts, we can see that bread was used for offering sacrifice, and we know that Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all humankind, when he died on the cross and 3 days later rose again. Bread is always also taken as a provision for a journey. If Jesus is the bread, we as the believers take him throughout our life with us. Jesus is the bread of life that we are sustained with on our journey as followers of Christ. I hope you are coming to see that in the Israelite culture, bread was everything and had to do with everything in life. So when Jesus says to his disciples, "I am the bread of life, whoever comes to me will never be hungry, whoever believes in me will never thirst," this has something real and impactful and significant in the lives of the people. And you see, this bread, this Jesus, is for all people, regardless of their life history, what they have done or what they will do. You see, Jesus says, "Whoever comes to me, whoever believes." Jesus is making the statement that he is bread for all people, and that he is the love, the nourishment, the sacrifice, and the sustainer of all people. And what must one do to have this bread? Jesus says they must simply believe. There is one last area in the biblical text where bread and its significance is clearly seen. This is the practice of breaking bread and sharing it before a meal. We see this in the feeding of the 5,000. The text says, Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says, "Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts." And lastly, in the Gospel of Mark, while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Of course, here we are talking about the Eucharist, the Mass or the Holy Communion, which we will do in a short time, where we will take the bread, we will give thanks, and partake in the sacrificial meal that the Lord has left for us, his followers here on earth. And when we partake in this meal, we will get the love, nourishment, and sacrifice of Christ. Simply put, we will receive all of God's grace. All of this goes to say that bread is important in the biblical text, and it is very important for us to pay notice when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." So in our society today, seeing indeed is believing, and most people want to see something, just as the disciples did before they were able to come and believe. No one should fault anyone for this, because this simply seems to be part of the human condition. We must see for ourselves to believe. In just a moment, we will come to the communion rail. We will see the bread. We will break the bread. We will take the bread. We will eat and taste the bread, which is Jesus. And in breaking, seeing, taking, and eating that bread, we will see Christ, who is love, mercy, sustenance, nourishment, presence, and sacrifice, grace itself. So my brothers and sisters, in just a moment, when we come to the communion rail together, I invite you to see and believe. Amen.